Extension 720, rolling along till 10 o'clock tonight. It's my pleasure to welcome into the studio Christopher Jones, the chief theater critic over at the Chicago Tribune. Great to see you, buddy.
How are you? I'm just moving my chair
there you
now, because I'm a short guy, but I'm not that short.
Good to see you, and I'm glad. It's funny, I was just telling to the audience that I didn't do much promotion, because I didn't have a lot of faith you'd make it tonight.
Well, you know, I was in a show. It was one of those crisp 80-minute shows, so I hot-footed it down Lakeshore Drive, and here I am.
No improv? They weren't, like, trying to make it longer?
No, I'm out. And, you know, there is no one faster than me at getting out of a theater.
Do the actors and the people involved in the show, when they see you, you're really just getting out of here because you can come on Extension 720,
That's
but they're
right.
Like, oh, no, he bolted out of here, he didn't like it. They take something else from your
exactly right
hasty exit.
Exactly right.
All right, so you did a great piece just last week about some of the offerings coming up for the fall. And the fall is usually the traditional start of a theater season.
The big shows, the big guns come out, your Steppenwolf, your Goodmans, your Broadway in Chicago, stuff like that. So we got a good fall. I mean, we got some good stuff. It's already started tonight, American Blues Theater, Five Presidents, about the day. There's the day that Bush, George W. Bush, Reagan, Carter, Ford, and Clinton were all in the same room. Mm. And that day was the funeral of Richard Nixon in California. And they were all in. So this play by Rick Cleveland, who is a longtime Chicago writer, also wrote a lot of West Wing and, you know, just a really great TV writer.
Yeah, a lot
writer.
Of Emmy. He's an Emmy award winner. Yeah,
big-time TV writer. And he's written this funny play about these five presidents together. It was kind of fun tonight. You know, and Reagan is sort of getting, Reagan is older. And Jim Lemming played Reagan very sympathetically, sort of the picture of Reagan on the cusp of Alzheimer's, really. It was kind of a good show tonight, so that was fun.
The shows that you kind of pick for the fall, they run the gamut from sort of what we know to be the Broadway in Chicago and the stuff that's coming downtown and some of the celebrities that are coming in. But also, what I thought was interesting was just the idea that for the first time, it seems maybe in history, it seems Broadway in Chicago is branching out, and they're not necessarily just doing everything that is downtown. They're partnering with Timeline for something that would be, I guess, more of an off-loop fair.
Yeah, so what they're doing, which is sort of unusual, is this play called Oslo, which is by this writer called J.T. Rogers, a really good writer, very good playwright. I saw this in New York. And what it's about, if you remember, in 1993, it's about the peace accord in Oslo, which ended with Yitzhak Rabin and Yasser Arafat shaking hands. You remember there's that famous photo with Bill Clinton sort of going, come on, you got to shake your hand. It's like pushing them together.
Get in the shot.
It's all my doing. And in fact, it wasn't all Clinton's doing. It was this anonymous Norwegian negotiator. So it's this interesting play about how in treaties, you know, it's sort of interesting because I was writing this piece just with all the business with Trump and the Taliban at Camp David just last week, you know, about that idea of the unsung negotiator changing history. But the people that change history are usually not presidents. They're usually the unsung negotiators. Right. And so that's I think, a very promising play. And it's going to be done by Timeline, but it's going to be at the Broadway Playhouse, which is right by Water Tower. And they're going to, you know, Broadway in Chicago is going to sell it to its subscribers. So Timeline's going to play to like 30,000 people, which is a lot.
It is a lot. Is there significance in that? Is this something that might be a new model that you might see more off-loop theater companies here in Chicago getting some of the piece of the pie that downtown theater?
Well, I think that, you know, so what it is you get a very good play on Broadway. Plays don't really tour anymore. It's too expensive. And you can't really sell a play in a lot of markets. But you can in Chicago because we're a smart city. People here like to see a good play. And so the theory here is really you take a hot play off Broadway, and instead of sticking it on the road, you get some very good Chicago actors to do it. And why not? And then it's marketed by Broadway in Chicago, who have some muscle, and they can deliver 20, 30,000 people, which, as you know, is more than often make it to a small Chicago off-loop show.
You see a lot that's in that Broadway Playhouse. There might be the Elvis play.
There's a real crap.
But it seems like they're going for for the most common denominator, meaning they're trying to get as many people. So when you have someone like Timeline, who I love their stuff, but something that might be a little bit more, you know, straight ahead play, do they have to worry about that because audiences are used to the Harry Potter show?
Yeah, no, like I think, you know, I think Oslo is a difficult, you know, it's like Oslo, it's like the Chicago that we want Chicago to be, which is where people will go and see plays that are very smart and are very sort of balanced, and they're about sort of, you know, political change, and they're very thoughtful. You know, they're not super sexy. I mean, Oslo is being made into a big Hollywood movie. I would say in another year, we'll all be talking about it, probably get Oscars. Meryl Streep will probably be in it or something. You know, it's all of that's underway. But right now, it's here. And, you know, I say this a lot, but I mean it, that some of our actors in this town are every bit as good as any of those guys. And so, you know, I always like to see these local performers get a big opportunity downtown. You know, I think that's it's a really cool thing.
Well, I can't wait to see Meryl Streep play Yasser Arafat. I just think that's going to be, it's really going to push. There is this balance, you know, between what happens downtown and the off loop stuff. And there's some theaters, and Steppenwolf kind of falls into that category, that kind of bridge it. Because they're a little bit out of the loop, and they still play true to their roots of being sort of from off loop, so they kind of lead the way when it comes to the big shows that are coming up in the fall. They're always coming up with good stuff.
So they've got, you know, Lindaway, which is this is the return of Ladysmith Black Mombazo, who I'm sure lots of people will remember, who they worked on a show. It's in the early 90s called The Song of Jacob Zulu. Did very, very well with Eric Simonson, who's an ensemble member there. You know, and they were big recording artists in the 90s.
Graceland.
Graceland.
That's right. He was on the whole record.
The show was called Cape Man, off the Graceland album. And they are still around. You know, I think the founder's still there, and I'm sure some of those guys are different now, but they're coming back, and they're all going to be performing at Steppenwolf. And it's interesting because the late artistic director at Steppenwolf, Martha Levy, really wanted to get this show done. So, and she died, you know, a couple of years ago now, so that tells you how long they've been planning this. So I am actually, I'm excited to see that. I think it's going to be a cool show.
How often does that, is this a peek behind the curtain? I mean, are they thinking about their seasons, theater companies like the Goodman and Steppenwolf, years in advance?
Yeah, I think they're often thinking about them 2 years at least in advance. And when it comes to new musicals on Broadway, you know, like shows like, you know, there's this show The Devil Wears Prada, which is being made into a musical. I am hoping it's going to start here. Hoping, shall we say, at this moment. And, you know, as soon as next year, I think that would be really cool. That's Elton John writing the score, and that's been knocking around, well, you know, 4 or 5 years, because Elton John's got other stuff to do. So when he gets off stage, you're like, oh, maybe I'll write a song. Maybe I won't tonight. Maybe I won't, you know, because they're going to have to wait.
Chicago has such a track record, you know, just recently Tootsie was here and did the tryout, and it was successful on Broadway and at the Tonys. Broadway has to look at that and say, like, we don't want to mess with the formula. If they're starting new musicals, Chicago has to be the place.
Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes they can be a bit dodgy. Like, we've got this. So coming up, I'm hoping for Devil Wears Prada, but also on the docket is the new Britney Spears musical, I guess. So that's coming. That's going to be, you know, then there was going to be the Michael Jackson musical, which got, you know, postponed.
Why? I missed the news. Why?
Right. So, you know, sometimes these pop culture shows, you never kind of know what you're going to get. And then there's a big hit on Broadway right now, Moulin Rouge, which is really great. If you're going to New York, folks, it's well worth seeing. It's not anything like dramatic complexity, but it's essentially the movie on stage with like 5,000 different jukebox songs, and that I think will be here. I mean, that's kind of the big, but that opened in New York this summer. It's like $600-700 a ticket now to get a good seat there. It's really expensive.
Well, let's take a break, and when I come back, I want to ask about, you know, because there's so many of the plays that are going to be in Chicago that are done by Chicago theater companies, but they're plays that have been done or they already had successful runs on, like, Oslo on Broadway. And what's the dichotomy, or what's the ratio of plays that have been successful and produced elsewhere versus new work that is coming out here in Chicago? Chris Jones. I give you a little formality. Chris Jones here on Extension 720, man. So we'll take a break here on 720 WGN. Extension 720 here on 720 WGN. Chris Jones is in studio, chief theater critic over at the Chicago Tribune. He writes not just about theater. He's always writing about provocative.
We mix it up.
The Year of the Chicago Theater. Yeah. This is the this has been the Chicago Cultural Affairs.
It's a Rahm thing.
Rahm did the public art, and right. Now it's the Year of Chicago right. Theater. Does that matter to the theater goer, or that kind of distinction that the city's putting their lens or shining a light on the Chicago theater scene?
I think it's been more important, not so much for Chicagoans, but for tourists. Like I was talking to somebody who works at a theater just the other day, and they were saying, you know, we finally got into O'Hare. You're collecting your bag, and you look up, and there's a poster for a show. And I think that it's been that in terms of visitors who don't really know. You know, often visitors come here, they've no idea what we've got here in terms of live entertainment. And we've had a couple of good tourist shows. So, you know, people turn their nose up at these things, but not me, Justin, not me. So, you know, you've got this new Teatro Zinzani, right? Big circus right there on Randall Street. You have dinner, they fly your cheesecake at you, you know, the clown, you know, licks your bald head and then serves dinner on it, that kind of thing. Might actually do that. And so, you know, that's a good night out for people coming down to the Loop. And then there's also a new drag show, a drag theater in Motor Row, which is down on South Michigan Avenue, right by McCormick Place. So there's this thing open there called Lips, which is a drag theater. They've got 5 different shows. The drag ladies are different every night, and I had a good time there. It's very glamorous, and I was very nicely taken care of. They said, "Hello, you beautiful darling," when I walked in, and I like that. And then the other line that I like was they said, one of the queens says, "Now be nice to your queens, because if you are, they'll remove your makeup and then reapply it the correct way." Very funny. So Lips is a good time. And so I'm all for some of these like shows where you don't, not everybody wants to see Hamlet after all.
Right.
And, you know, we don't have a lot of stars here that people know. But I mean, the King's Speech, which is going to be opening on Navy Pier. That's, you know, based on the movie. That's got the dude from Lady Edith's husband in Downton Abbey's in it. I like Downton Abbey. So that's going to, you know, that at least draw a few tickets. And then it was funny, I was talking to another guy in the theater who's looking for a star, and he said, "Well, I'm thinking of offering this role to John Hugenacker, who's the guy in the Bud Light, you know, those Bud Light beer commercials where they have that whole, you know, the king in the
band." Yeah.
I was like, "Well, does he sell a ticket?" And he's like, "Well, he sells a beer." So
if you could just play that character, that would be great.
Yeah, now he's going to play
we were just talking about that on a podcast about that. But it's funny that Bud Light that's so successful, it's a huge thing. Medieval comedy, you got to go with it. Stay with it. It sells light beer.
It's like you look at that, you go, how did that idea get approved?
And how did they go with the second season of it? Now that here comes football, right? And now they're on the new ones. When they did the Bears Packers game, you're watching, and it's just all of that here. It's back, and you're like,
I keep watching it, and it's the same gag, right? Basically in slightly different setting, and I'm like, wow.
Bud Light drinkers are like, that's me, I love it.
And it has nothing to do with the Bud Light, which is the key, right? Because the beer is so terrible. you've got to make people forget
what
the beer.
Let's take them to a period piece, take them to the medieval era. All right, so I asked a question right before the break about the concept of the ratio in Chicago. When you have a fall preview and there's so much great stuff, and some of the stuff you've talked about, like we said with Oslo, already ran on Broadway.
Right.
And a lot of this stuff already has run in different places, and now it's being remounted or touring here in Chicago. What's the ratio between that and new work and Chicago work that is specific to or unique to Chicago?
Well, I would say it's about, you know, there's a couple, it's about 50-50, I would say, that there's a lot of what, you know, that is pretentiously called devised work here. But then, you know, and then, of course, there's the whole improv world, which is new every night, baby. You know, you've got your Second City. They've got a new review. I didn't like that last main stage review one bit, so I'm happy that that's turning over. I do like the ETC review, and that's carrying on, so that's good. I always like it when that works out nicely. So they've got a new show coming this fall, so that's going to be good, I think. And then you've got new plays like, there's a play, Dana H, which is opening actually on Monday at the Goodman Theatre, which is by Lucas Nath, who's a very well-established Broadway playwright, and it's about his own mother, who is a prison psychologist, who was later sort of abducted by one of the inmates that she'd been working with. And that's about all I know. I haven't seen it. I think it's had a pre-thing in LA, but this is basically the premiere. If it does well, I'm sure it will go to New York. So I always, you know, I'm all for having stuff first. And I always think Chicagoans, we like stuff first. We like to get our eyes on it before the great marketplace. Yeah.
My last question just is about, it felt like in the last, or maybe from 2016 or January 2017 to beginning of this year, the theater always speaks about the things that are happening around us, and it was all about Trump. Everything that was being, it was like, this is, maybe it's not, it's set somewhere else, but it's all about Trump. Has that died down? Are we at a point where we're now thinking about different topics and not necessarily talking about
it? It's a really interesting thing. Is that what people want? You know, most artists in Chicago are progressives, and most artists, and then many of them are very young, and many of them are ready to change the world with every show they do. And they always are irritated by the resistance of the audience, which sort of says, it's Friday night, I know who's president, I know what he's saying, I know all about it, just give me a good time. And that's always a conundrum in Chicago theater, because it can be, you know, a little overly earnest. And so sometimes, you know, people just want to laugh on a Friday night.
Or explore other topics, meaning it's not just about Trump or just about the current political climate.
That has just, it sucks up so much oxygen, you know. It's interesting, because there are some plays that are very small about couples and about, I saw one on Wednesday called Midsummer, sweet little show about a love affair between two 30-year-olds. Very sweet. And there's a room for everything, and not everybody wants to sort of, you know, hear the same noise when they, people also like to escape, and sometimes escape means just thinking about something else.
Chris Jones, always a pleasure to have you.
My pleasure, Justin.
Chief theater critic over at the Chicago Tribune, and hopefully will be joining us on the regular coming up here after the Sox season, because we miss talking to you, buddy. All right, that's going to do it for Extension 720. We'll take our last break. Coming up, who's coming up? Who's up? Carm? Oh,
I'll just,
Carmen's
I can just
in.
Stick around. If you want. Just stick around. We talk about a few movies.
We got movies next week, Christian. No, Mark Carmen coming in up next here.
I don't see him, Justin. I don't see him. You tell me he's coming in, but I don't see him.